Welcome to Canada's most irreverent talk show. This is The Andrew Lawton Show, brought to you by True North.
Hello and welcome to you all. Happy Monday. I hope it's a happy Monday. It is Monday, March 18th, 2024, the day after St. Patrick's Day. And I decided to honor St. Patrick's Day by watching Brian Mulroney sing When Irish Eyes Are Smiling alongside President Ronald Reagan. And then I also learned my friend Mark Stein had written a column about that song on yesterday's Song of the Week, which is a feature he does at his website, Stein Online. And he also had a video of Brian Mulroney singing it for Donald Trump, which I didn't know existed. And I would share the link. I would share the link with you, but, or not the link. I would share the song with you. But every time we even do like the slightest bit of music, we get some ridiculous YouTube copyright strike. And I don't want, the estate of Brian Mulroney via YouTube coming after us. But Brian Mulroney does have a state funeral coming up, and it'll be quite interesting to see what becomes of that. He is a figure that is quite significant and quite pivotal in Canadian politics. And I know he wasn't always the most popular among many, well, certainly among people in the West or a lot of people in conservatism, but he was very influential, very transformative, and very well-liked and well-respected across the board. So we'll keep an eye out for that. And I know this afternoon in the House of Commons, there are also going to be some tributes, as this is the first week in, it was basically like 3.5 years, it feels like, that the House of Commons is back sitting again. And they're only back for, I think it's a week or 2 weeks, and then they're off again. Like, you really wonder if members of Parliament are doing anything. But that is a discussion for another show. I'll tell you someone who doesn't want to do anything. That is Justin Trudeau, who you may have seen this story making the waves. As always, you oftentimes get better coverage from non-Canadian media of what's happening in Canada than you do by the official Canadian press. But BBC ran this story. Canada's Justin Trudeau says he thinks daily about leaving crazy job being in quotation marks. It was a story that was based off of a French language interview that Justin Trudeau did with Radio Canada, in which, and I, again, my French is decent, it's passable. I do not pretend that I can navigate the intricacies of linguistics and translation, which this story has really come down to, because Trudeau made a comment in the interview which was very important. He said his job was a word that BBC originally translated to boring, and then was very quickly subject to a bunch of haggling and negotiating by the Twitterati about what he really meant by that. And some people said, no, it doesn't mean boring, it means challenging. And people have said, well, no, it clearly means boring, and people are saying it means challenging. BBC eventually folded. And they ran an update to their story, and in the story, it now says, it's super tough, it's very challenging at times. So originally, they translated what he said as boring, now they're saying translating, but what or challenging. But what is clear, what is accepted, is that Trudeau said, I think about quitting every day. So whether it is a story about him saying that he wants to quit because his job is challenging, or he wants to quit because his job is boring, I think there are a lot of Canadians, certainly from what I have heard people saying online in the last couple of days, that are like, why are you thinking about quitting? Why are you not just doing it? Now, I would, of course, never go down that road. I would never tell this man what he should do. I would never encourage him to take a walk in the snow. I would never encourage him to think just a little bit harder about whether or not he wants to be in this job at all. That is something I will leave for other people. But it is interesting that he is trying to play a victim here. He is trying to tell Canadians that he has it so tough. It's so difficult being him. And he thinks about quitting, but then he quickly pulls back and says, oh, no. But what kind of man would I be if I did that? That was the one translation. I'll pull it up, what he said there. And again, I'm relying on another translation. But I believe his line, I had it up here a moment ago. My tabs have just decided to take on a life of their own here. Ah, here it is. He says, I couldn't be the man I am and give up the fight at this point. Now, when you try to get into Justin Trudeau's mind, you'll find that you have difficulty finding it. But if you manage to find it and you manage to get there, one point that I will raise about this that's incredibly important is that he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that cares about what happens to the country or even his party after he's gone. He does really come across to me, and again, this is me playing armchair psychologist here, but he seems like the kind of guy that's okay just burning it all down behind him if he's gone, which is why, despite my protests in the past that Justin Trudeau is not going to leave unless he is forced out either by his own party or by Canadians, I don't think he's going to take the step down before the election in the way, I mean, speaking of Brian Mulroney, in the way that Brian Mulroney did in 1993 and the way that other prime ministers in this country have done. So what we are going to see and what we're going to have happen here is a very significant change in course for Justin Trudeau. I think he's going to start doing what anyone does when they're backed into a corner. He is going to get aggressive. He's going to get nasty. He's going to get dirty. The Liberal Party is going to basically turn the next election into a bare-knuckle street fight because they have no other options. And if you're a Liberal member of Parliament, and I talked about this, I can't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago. It's probably come up a couple times. But if you're a Liberal member of Parliament right now, your political future hangs in the balance. Because Justin Trudeau, if he is the captain of a sinking ship, all of these MPs are going to go down with him. And look, it's all well and good if he wants to say that his job is so challenging and it's so difficult being him and boo-hoo-hoo. But there are a lot of people whose political lives, whose livelihoods depend on that party getting its act together right now. And again, far be it for me to try to give free advice to the Liberal Party of Canada, not that they listen to the likes of me or anything like that. But the point that I'll stress here, which I think is tremendously important, is that it's amazing how many MPs don't really seem to realize this or don't care about this. Again, if you are a member of Parliament, what was the last polling I saw said the Conservatives were on track to win 221 votes, seats in the next election. 221 seats out of 338. I think there are going to be a few more seats, but 221 seats is massive. That is more than Brian Mulroney had when he had his supermajority. It's more than John Diefenbaker had when he had his supermajority. And it's going to be incredibly difficult if you're one of those Liberal members of Parliament in Toronto, even in the suburbs of Vancouver, in southwestern Ontario, especially if you're an MP that's only had maybe one shot, one term, maybe two terms, you haven't quite qualified for your pension yet. And these MPs are now facing an election that is going to be an absolute bloodbath for the Liberals because the Liberals have been so unrepentant about their strategy. They've been so unrepentant about their track record, and they refuse to accept that anyone else could have a more resonant vision for the country than the one that they are putting forward. And I wanted to share a clip because I think this is actually illuminating. I spent a fair bit of the show last week talking about the great carbon tax revolt, talking about all of the provinces that are now stepping up and saying that they do not want to have Justin Trudeau's carbon tax. They do not want it. They do not like it. It's the old green eggs and ham thing. I do not want your tax, Sam. I do not like it. I won't bother trying to rhyme, but the whole point here is that these premiers do not think that this is viable for them, whether it's for economic reasons, political reasons, or a combination of the two. And I want to share a clip. This is Pierre Poilievre. He was doing an East Coast swing last week, continuing his Axe the Tax, Spike the Hike campaign, which I guess, look, is clearly working given where premiers are going on this. But this was what he had said facing down this increase in the carbon tax, which is coming in on April 1st.
Hike of 23% is scheduled to take effect in just a few weeks, April Fool's Day, and with Justin Trudeau and the Liberals, the joke is on you. Trudeau will hike gas prices at stations like this one. Home heating bills will rise across the country. Farmers, fishermen, truckers, who all bring us food, will be paying more and passing on those prices at the grocery store to Canadians who are already starving. That's why common sense conservatives are standing with 70% of Canadians in the polls and 70% of provincial premiers who've called for Trudeau to spike the hike, cancel this heartless and cruel April 1st tax hike. There will be two common sense conservative motions before the House of Commons next week. Liberal and NDP members of Parliament will have to decide whether they vote for their constituents' affordable gas, food, and homes, or whether they will vote with Justin Trudeau to dig deeper into the pockets of Canadians who are freezing and starving. That will be the decision.
Those votes are part of what Poilievre announced about a week and a day ago, a so-called massive pressure campaign on the government. Look, I would love nothing more than to see the carbon tax and a great many other Canadian taxes, by the way, brought out to the woodshed and shot, but I am not optimistic. The Liberals and NDP have, at the federal level, doubled and tripled and quadrupled down on this. There have been so few that are interested in the idea of tax relief, let alone carbon tax relief. And I should say, by the way, on a mea culpa, last week I mentioned on this show Ken Hardy, and I was crediting Ken Hardy as being the guy who stood up against the carbon tax. Then I realized when I was emailed by someone, Ken Hardy is not. Ken Hardy is a Liberal MP from BC. I was thinking of Ken McDonald, who is the Newfoundland MP. So I apologize very much to Ken McDonald for comparing him to Ken Hardy, which is, I think, tremendously offensive for several reasons. And I also apologize to Ken McDonald for not giving credit where it was due. But the point that I raised was that Ken McDonald was against the carbon tax, but seemed to pipe down once the federal government, once Trudeau gave Newfoundland a bit of a reprieve, didn't really care about reprieve for the rest of the country, cared about his own constituents, fine, but not exactly committed to the broader message of carbon tax relief for Canadians. But we're seeing so much gaslighting on this. And when I say gaslighting, I really mean this. Do you remember that old play, Gaslight? It was basically about an abusive husband that manipulates his wife by going around and turning the gas lights on and off and telling her that he had nothing to do with it, to make her think she had gone crazy. That is where the term comes from. There's your little bit of trivia for the day. There's also a Dixie Chick song called Gaslighter, which I mean, it's Dixie Chick, so I don't particularly love it. But anyway, I know very little about pop culture, so when I do know a little bit, I try to slip it in there. It's not like sports where I know absolutely nothing. But the whole point is Justin Trudeau gaslights Canadians on the carbon tax from telling us that, oh, well, you know, we all end up better off on this, to telling us that it is going to save the planet. This is one I had to share before we go to our Monday friend Chris Sims. This was Justin Trudeau trying a little bit of this carbon tax gaslighting in real time, right before your very eyes last week.
Carbon tax, short-term thinkers. Is the Liberal Premier of Newfoundland and Labrador, Andrew Fury, one of those short-term thinkers?
I think a lot of people are seeing the public pressure of folks who are worried about the cost of living and worried about affordability. And one of the challenges that is out there is that everyone seems to be talking about the price we've brought in on pollution. Nobody is talking about the Canada Carbon Rebate that puts more money in the pockets of 8 out of 10 families across the country than the price on pollution actually costs them. So taking away the price on pollution or leveling it off where it is would actually mean less money in the pockets of 8 out of 10 Canadians in the jurisdictions where it's imposed, which doesn't make sense. Canadians are squeezed on groceries, they're squeezed on rent, they're squeezed on cost of living. We are putting more money in their pockets 4 times a year with the Canada Carbon Rebate, and we're going to continue to do that.
So what are you going to say to Mr. Fury, though, specifically? Do you think he's a short-term thinker?
I think Mr. Fury is continuing to bow to political pressure. I think Canadians in Newfoundland and Labrador and right across the country expect their governments to do the right thing. And the right thing right now is not just fighting climate change and spurring innovation for the future. It's about being there to support Canadians during this affordability crisis. And the Canada Carbon Rebate helps out 80% of Canadians with more money than they pay in terms of a price on pollution. It's basic math, and we're going to continue to be there to support Canadians with the Canada Carbon Rebate.
Basic math. Is it as basic as those poll numbers that show you getting absolutely trounced in the next election? Okay, that was a low blow. I apologize for nothing. But anyway, this is Justin Trudeau telling us that we're all better off. So the increase in groceries, the increase in gas, the increase in home heating, no. All of that pales in comparison to those nice little carbon tax checks we get from the government. 80% of us. Well, it's not much of a cold comfort if you are in the 20%, and it's a very cold comfort if you can't afford to heat your home, in part because of the carbon tax. And I love that little bit about Andrew Fury, the premier of Newfoundland, elected with a mandate. He's a liberal. He's an ideological kin member of Justin Trudeau's liberals. But oh, no. He's just being targeted. He's too dumb to know what's good for him. He's bowing to political pressure because he spoke up and said Newfoundlanders can't afford the carbon tax. Chris Sims is the Alberta director with the Canadian Taxpayers Federation and joins us every Monday. Once again, always good to see you, Chris. Thanks for coming on today.
Likewise. Thanks, Andrew, for playing that clip again.
This is the whole carbon tax rebrand that we've talked about in past weeks, where they say, no, the problem isn't the policy. The problem is that Canadians don't understand it. And their effort to do that is by just disingenuously claiming that we're all better off. And again, he says it's basic math. If we're all better off by the tax, if we're profiting from this, then what was the point of it all? That the only mechanism by which this makes sense for the government is if it's penalizing people.
Okay, so there's so much to unpack here. I just wanted to say to your viewers who are sane, we know, okay? We know what he's saying doesn't make sense. We know that the tax will make you poorer, that it doesn't make you richer when the government takes more of your money, okay? All of that is established. What we're going to try to break down here is some of the pretzel-like twisting and thinking that the Prime Minister is trying to engage in here, okay? So number one, exactly to your point, Andrew, if the carbon tax actually costs you nothing, or you get magically more money back every single time you pay it, well then, where is the stick? Where's the deterrence for using oil and gas products? Because some people might forget, with all this baffle gab that the Prime Minister is putting out, the Liberal government of Canada put through a carbon tax in order to punish people for using things like oil and gas. So gasoline, diesel, propane, natural gas, kerosene, you name it. If it comes from oil and gas, you're going to get carbon taxed on it. Their thinking way back when they first invented this thing was that they would stick you. They would hit you with the stick until you moved over and switched to another energy source. Problem is, most Canadians, the vast majority of us, do not have access to an affordable, abundant, alternative energy source. So there's nothing to switch to. So it just turns into a punishment. So that didn't work, okay? Even if we only emit less than 2% of the world's global emissions, fine, that still didn't work because people still need to drive to work and heat their homes and eat food. So then they had to change their comms plan. It's like, oh, okay, we're not robbing you blind. We're actually making you richer. That flies in the face of the idea of a deterrence. That's the whole point of this carbon tax, was to make stuff more expensive so that us dummies would switch to other things. But that's not working out for him.
No, and the hilarious thing is that if you were to do something, if you were to enact a policy that makes people richer, my goodness, are there better ways to sell that? Like, hey, everyone, here's a free check. Like, this is just, it makes you feel you're being hoodwinked. Well, I mean, you are being hoodwinked, but the government's saying, okay, you pay us, you know, a dollar more every time you do this, and then we're going to give you $5 every quarter. And you're thinking, well, okay, this is how con men speak.
Like, yes.
This is how con men try to sell you on things. They come up with this scheme that makes it so convoluted and complicated where it sounds good, but you know you're getting screwed at the end. And that's the thing here. I mean, Canadians need to know they're getting screwed, because otherwise there would be no point. And again, the government's even like abandoned this, because originally it was a price on carbon. Sure. Pollution shouldn't be free, which in and of itself is based on a premise that's incredibly flawed. But at the end of it, I'm waiting to see the 8 in 10 Canadians that are supposedly better off.
This is it. So again, you've nailed it. So let's move on now to the magically 8 in 10 Canadians are better off. Okay, so just on the surface of it. So I don't know, you know, lots of people had lots of different types of jobs. But do you remember that time where you're in a coffee shop and you're this long lost buddy from school sits you down and starts explaining this new investment scheme he's got going? It's a pyramid scheme, okay? You give him money, he gives the other person money, and then you magically at some point get your money back. Meanwhile, he's taken off to Mexico somewhere. This is what this is, okay? But he just happens to be in a suit and tie and be standing in front of a TV camera, so it all looks official. So don't even take it from the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, okay? Like, we've been fighting this forever. We literally have the bumper sticker and the t-shirt. We know this. Fine. Take it from the Parliamentary Budget Officer, okay? It's an independent, arm's-length government watchdog that keeps an eye on their spending, okay? Just the spending. This year, the average Alberta family will be out $900 net. That is with the rebates factored in, okay? Like, they've done the math on their big calculator, okay? And the way they do that is, of course, the carbon tax isn't just you filling up your little Honda Civic, okay, and spending around $8 to $10 extra every time you fill up in the carbon tax. It's not just that. It's your home heating, okay? It is the food that the trucker had to haul to your grocery store. It's the food that the farmer had to grow, keeping his poultry barns warm and his grain dry. All of this level of taxation cascades through the economy, and you, dear taxpayer, are the ones who pay it. The Parliamentary Budget Officer, to their credit, did all of that math. They said, no, 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 it's not just your little rebate that you might be getting from your local gas station once you're finished filling up. No, it's the cascade of that carbon tax effect. And that is why Alberta families are out net $900 this year. And further, it just, to your point, I'm so glad you described what gaslighting means. Because a lot of times I think people just use that term and they don't realize how awful and insidious gaslighting is, right? It's, to put it in a more simplistic term, it's like you're in the schoolyard and the bully is like grabbing your own hand and hitting you with it. And he's saying, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself.
I have an older brother. I'm familiar.
Yeah, me too. I got three of them, right? And so, you know, name 10 chocolate bars. I still shudder, right? So this is what the Prime Minister is doing here, but on a macro scale, and he's taking money from people, and it's just fundamentally unfair, which is why we're now seeing, I think it's 7 in 10 premiers saying no more carbon tax. I think the tide has turned on this.
Yeah, and then, you know, Wab Kanoo, the NDP premier in Manitoba, being very coy on this. But this is actually a good segue into some news in my own province, Ontario. Don't boo. Bonnie Crombie, who's the new minister, or the new leader of the Ontario Liberal Party. Now, this is the party of Kathleen Wynne and Dalton McGuinty. This is like one of the most rabid, radical, environmental parties in the country. When they were there, this is the country or the province that brought in cap and trade to Ontario, that like terrible, terrible record on this, that brought in the wind turbines there's no business case for. So Bonnie Crombie, the leader of the Ontario Liberal Party, has said that if she wins the election and she defeats Doug Ford's Progressive Conservatives in 2026, there will be no provincial carbon tax for consumers. Now, this is a big, big development. And I mean, the Overton window, what this tells me is that the Overton window on the carbon tax has shifted, where you can't really be elected without opposing it. And provincial governments are getting this. Provincial parties are. You have NDP leadership candidates in Alberta saying no to the carbon tax. You've got the Ontario Liberals, the Newfoundland Liberals, everyone but Justin Trudeau.
I know. He's the last one to get it. Right. I sent it to my friend. I said, bring an umbrella because pigs are flying in Ontario today. Like, I want to go get, you know, those dollar store fairy wings you can get, or angel wings. I want to go stick them on Porky the Waste Hater, our big our pig mascot in Ottawa, and make Franco do cartwheels on Parliament Hill with it. So to your point, and again, I lived in Ontario at the time when the Liberals were in charge, and they destroyed the affordability for your power bill. So I remember distinctly myself, we had a very small bungalow that we were renting. We were using natural gas for heat. I was obsessively doing laundry, like after midnight, using only LED bulbs. And our power bill was still more than $400 a month. And that I was getting off easy compared to some like Kathy Kitula and some of those folks who were living in more rural areas that were getting power bills that were more than $1,000. So the reason why I'm telling you this little story, because it doesn't sound like carbon taxi stuff, the same geniuses who invented the Clean Energy Act in Ontario and ruined people's affordability, they scurried up after they got booted out of office. They scurried from Queen's Park. Guess where? They scurried up to Ottawa. They're the ones that created the legislation for this current federal carbon tax, my friend. And so that is why Andrew and I are highlighting this. Guys, we have to keep an eye on these people. But politically speaking, bringing it around full circle, to your point, to have that same party leader now, so different lady, same party though, and she's leader, saying no provincial carbon tax, my, how things have changed. So I don't know what's going to happen. Like, is the prime minister going to, you know, see the lesson here and cave to politics? By the way, sorry, dude, but you're a politician. Like, I don't know if you knew this, but you're in the arena. It is your job to listen to people and respond.
No, it's like the number. It's like the number one thing you do when you run for office. You come up with an excuse to say I'm not a politician. But it's like, well, you, because I tried that when I ran for office in 2018. It's like, I'm not a politician, I was a politician at that point. It doesn't mean I was like every other politician. But right. Once you're elected, like the pretense is completely gone.
It's like, dude, your name is on a lawn sign. Like, I'm literally watching you, like, kissing babies and shaking hands. Like, you're a politician. So this is it. So we can't pop the champagne on this yet. There's still a long way to go. But it's really good to see the narrative changing, as the kids say in school, on the carbon tax. Because a few years ago, you might remember the former leader of the Conservative Party, even, was totally in favor of the carbon tax. He was just calling it something different, and we were going to get a solar blender.
A toolbox or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Canadian Tire, but you get an e-bike.
So let me just ask briefly about this. So Doug Ford has said that he does not have the latitude that, say, Scott Moe does. So Scott Moe, they've just stopped remitting the carbon tax, but they also have a pure Crown Corporation energy provider, which Ontario does not. And so that argument makes sense. But what do we know the mechanism that Bonnie Crombie is proposing here so that she can get rid of this consumer carbon tax?
I think, now I don't want to speak for her, but my understanding was that if there were no federal tax, she would not bring one home to roost in Ontario.
Okay, so she's not pledging to do like the Scott Moe thing of just like somehow exempting from the federal.
Hey, if she could, all the power to her.
Like, I was going to say, I might even vote for her if she can do that. Yeah.
Hey, you want to throw shoes at our bad boyfriend, girl? I will help you. I will send you shoes to throw at this man. So the same way that Danielle Smith is doing here, the Premier of Alberta, it was funny. She was like, how on earth do I do what Mo did? Do I create this little shell of a Crown Corporation? Like, we don't usually like Crown Corporations, but I understand the usefulness in this particular fight. So she's trying to figure out how to do that too, because she's in this kind of friendly competition with Premier Scott Moe next door on how much each of them can stand up to Prime Minister Trudeau.
Yeah.
A little note though, and again, I'm speaking directly to the people who love your show, who are probably fans of the Premier. Like, I personally have an awful lot of time for the lady. Jurisdictionally, though, she's doing something wrong. She's going to be increasing the provincial fuel tax here on the same day that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is jacking up the federal carbon tax. And like, it's just math. This is nothing personal. That's not good. She's increasing it by 4 cents a liter. It's on schedule on April 1st. The provincial fuel tax is going up 4 cents a liter. And federally speaking, the carbon tax is going up 3 cents a liter. So not a good look. Like, so the Alberta Premier's really got to pay attention to the home roost here and not jack up her fuel tax, especially on the same day that that Prime Minister Trudeau is jacking up his carbon tax.
Yeah, very well said. And judging by your t-shirt, your kind offer to the country still stands that for the low price of $1 a day, $1 a year.
That's right.
You will be Her Excellency Governor General Chris Sims, which, you know what, we could do a lot worse. Well, pretty much anyone else would be worse. So, all right, Chris, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Bye.
All right. Chris Sims, we will see you back next Monday. Great to have your insight on this. And yeah, I got to say, I did not think Bonnie Crombie had an inner, but good on her as well. And I would say to Doug Ford, your move. And it'll be interesting if Pierre Poilievre lauds Bonnie Crombie for this in any way. I haven't checked his Twitter feed this morning. That'll be interesting because there's a fair bit of tension between the federal conservatives and the Ontario progressive conservatives. They really don't get along. So I could see, I don't know. I don't want to get too much into the palace intrigue of this, but I could see Poilievre as actually really trying to stick it to Ford by saying something nice about what Bonnie Crombie is doing. So I'll keep an eye out for it. Anyway, I have no inside knowledge on that part. I just, knowing the other stuff, the relational stuff I was talking about, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, that is going to do it for us for today. I will say, though, because I mentioned Handmaid's Tale last week. I started watching the show The Handmaid's Tale, which is based on the Margaret Atwood book. And I mentioned it on the show. And then Sean, my producer, who's off today, said he likes The Handmaid's Tale. It is having a weird effect on me. Because I two nights ago, I had a weird dream about Margaret Atwood. No, not that kind of dream. It was not that kind of dream about Margaret Atwood. But I dreamed that I was like walking down a Toronto street and I saw Margaret Atwood and I wanted a selfie with her. And she ignored me. So then I went into some like hipster cafe and sat down and had a coffee. And then she followed me in and joined me. And we sat down and spoke for 20 minutes about free speech. And we agreed. So I don't know what to take from that. Margaret Atwood did come out and criticize Bill C-63 as Orwellian. So perhaps that was buried in my subconscious a little bit, as well as The Handmaid's Tale. But I never thought I'd be dreaming about Margaret Atwood. So anyway, without further ado, I will end things there. But we'll be back tomorrow afternoon with more of Canada's most irreverent talk show here on True North. This is The Andrew Lawton Show. Thank you. God bless. And good day to you all.
Thanks for listening to The Andrew Lawton Show. Support the program by donating to True North at www.tnc.news.